Stories of Romance. I'm Mardell, reading The Blue Castle by L.M. Montgomery. Chapter 16. Valency had walked out to Roaring Abel's house on the Mistuous Road, under a sky of purple and amber, with a queer exhilaration and expectancy in her heart. Back there behind her, her mother and Cousin Stickles were crying, over themselves, not over her, but here the wind was in her face, soft, dew wet, cool, blowing along the grassy roads. Oh, she loved the wind. The robins were whistling sleepily in the firs along the way, and the moist air was fragrant with a tang of balsam. Big cars went purring past in the violet dusk. The stream of summer tourists to Muskoka had already begun. But Valency did not envy any of their occupants. Muskoka cottages might be charming, but beyond, in the sunset skies, among the spires of the firs, her blue castle towered. She brushed the old years and habits and inhibitions away from her like dead leaves. She would not be littered with them. Roaring Abel's rambling, tumble-down old house was situated about 3 miles from the village, on the very edge of up back, as the sparsely settled, hilly, wooded country around Mistuous was called vernacularly. It did not, it must be confessed, look much like a blue castle. It had once been a snug place enough, in the days when Abel Gay had been young and prosperous, and the punning arch sign over the gate, A. Gay, Carpenter, had been fine and freshly painted. Now it was a faded, dreary old place, with a leprous, patched roof, and shutters hanging askew. Abel never seemed to do any carpenter jobs about his own house. It had a listless air, as if tired of life. There was a dwindling grove of ragged, crone-like old spruces behind it. The garden, which Sissy used to keep neat and pretty, had run wild. On two sides of the house were fields full of nothing but mulleins. Behind the house was a long stretch of useless barrens, full of scrub pines and spruces, with here and there a blossoming bit of wild cherry, running back to a belt of timber on the shores of Lake Mistuous, 2 miles away. A rough, rocky, border-strewn lane ran through it to the woods, a lane white with pestiferous, beautiful daisies. Roaring Abel met Valency at the door. "So you've come," he said incredulously. "I never supposed that ruck of Sterling's would let you." Valency showed all her pointed teeth in a grin. "They couldn't stop me." "I didn't think you'd so much spunk," said Roaring Abel admiringly. "And look at the nice ankles of her," he added as he stepped aside to let her in. If Cousin Stickles had heard this, she would have been certain that Valency's doom, earthly and unearthly, was sealed. But Abel's superannuated gallantry did not worry Valency. Besides, this was the first compliment she had ever received in her life, and she found herself liking it. She sometimes suspected she had nice ankles, but nobody had ever mentioned it before. In the Sterling clan, ankles were among the unmentionables. Roaring Abel took her into the kitchen where Sissy Gay was lying on the sofa, breathing quickly, with little scarlet spots on her hollow cheeks. Valency had not seen Cecilia Gay for years. Then she'd been such a pretty creature, a slight blossom-like girl with soft golden hair, clear-cut, almost waxen features, and large, beautiful blue eyes. She was shocked at the change in her. Could this be sweet Sissy? This pitiful little thing that looked like a tired, broken flower. She had wept all the beauty out of her eyes. They looked too big, enormous, in her wasted face. The last time Valency had seen Cecilia Gay, Those faded, piteous eyes had been limpid, shadowy blue pools, aglow with mirth. The contrast was so terrible that Valency's own eyes filled with tears. She knelt down by Sissy and put her arms about her. "Sissy, dear, I've come to look after you, and I'll stay with you till as long as you want me." "Oh," Sissy put her thin arms about Valency's neck. "Oh, will you? It's been so lonely. I can wait on myself, but it's been so lonely. It would just be like heaven to have someone here like you. You were always so sweet to me long ago." Valency held Sissy close. She was suddenly happy. Here was someone who needed her, someone she could help. She was no longer a superfluity. Old things had passed away. Everything had become new.
"Most things are just predestinated, but some are just darn sheer luck," said Roaring Abel, complacently smoking his pipe in the corner.
Please join me next time for another romantic chapter of The Blue Castle by L.M. Montgomery, here on Love's Tender Flame. Until then, love deeply and live beautifully.